Hi ho, Tudor-minded people. It's Philadelphia Carrie for Tudor Time Machine. The word I share with you this week is prating. I hazard you shall deem that which I recount mere prattle, mere babble, but I do not prate. I tell true. I, wearying of R.B., did compose a well-worded missive, pleading that the difference in our stations forced me to abandon our love. Yet, before I had dispatched it, I received a missive from the false rogue, begging my pardon, for he had lost his heart to a new lady. Oh, the smell-smock bedswerver, that he could go mitching about with a Minkin's doll in place of myself, Lady Philadelphia Carey, Baroness of Bolton, I, who have served two queens. In my fury, I stormed to the Blackfriars Theatre, where R.B. was rehearsing the part of Amintor in the Maid's Tragedy. Passing coin to be admitted to the tiring room, I there found R.B.'s apprentice, young Robinson, dressing himself as the maiden, Aspeta. I knew well the play, as I had helped the rogue R.B. to learn his part. Aspeta, driven to madness by Amintor's falseness, disguises herself in men's garb and goads him into a duel in which she submits to be killed. Avant, then, with a bribe for young Robinson to pave my way, I took the lad's part, dressed in the man's costume, donned a stage sword, and upon my cue strode onto the stage. To R.B., as Amintor, I railed, "Thou art some prating fellow, one that hath studied out a trick to talk and move soft-hearted people, to be kicked." And I kicked him. What delight! Then I spoke my aside. Thus to be kicked, why should he be so slow in giving me my death? Then I slapped and taunted him, till at last he pulled his sword. We fought. In the play, Aspeta surrenders quickly, but I was relishing the battle and kept on striking him. As I have said, my R.B. is no longer a lithe gallant, and I danced about him until the sweat stood on his pate. Huffing and puffing, he swore, "God's blood, Robinson, you devil! You do not play the scene. You are to fall, and quickly, too." Tearing off my man's hat, I revealed myself. R.B. froze in fright. I cried, "I shall not submit to you, Burbage, thou false ruffian, vile deceiver, who prates of love but has no honour." Throwing down my sword, I stalked off the stage amid the applause of all the company.
Rating! How now, Tudor Files? What think you? If you're new here, I'm Gage.
I'm Jessica.
And we're here with Philadelphia Carey for Tudor Word of the Week.
Don't miss a word and listen to the Tudor Time Machine Story Project. So diverting. And I pray bid you tell a ningle and ring the little YouTube bell.
Tudor Files, thank you for listening. Every one of you has the wit of Rosalind and the heart of Cordelia.
And don't be shy about writing to Philadelphia on YouTube, or please suggest some words. We love hearing from our listeners.
How do you spell our Tudor Word of the Week, Philadelphia?
It is spelled P-R-A-T-I-N-G.
And prating means to chatter.
To go on and on, to blab.
But Philadelphia, you are no prater. You are a woman of action. Wow, look at you taking down Burbage and in costume. It took some guts.
Indeed it did.
So that's the end of the affair.
Well, it was fun while it lasted, right, Philadelphia? And now it's all over. You can choose a new lover. And, you know, that could make you feel better.
Maybe somebody from court would be tempting. Any candidates in mind?
Do not be foolish, my dear friends. Stop your prating. R.B. and I are lovers once more.
What? I'm confused.
Do know nothing of men.
Well,
scant 2 hours by the clock after my grand exit, R.B. was at my chamber door, begging, pleading, entreating me to forgive his dalliance, throwing himself on his knees and vowing that I was the most miraculous woman in Christendom, and that none could compare to me.
He did?
Of course. My performance had astounded him. My bravery had won his heart back from the insipid doll he had doted on as if in a dream, to quote the man himself. He loved only me. I was the queen of his heart, and he would perish if I did not vouchsafe my forgiveness of his peccadillo.
And did you forgive him?
Not before I had stripped him of his boots, that I might wear them as he kissed my feet.
So you are back together. Wow.
Philadelphia, that's a much happier ending than Aspatica gets in Maid's Tragedy. I mean, she ends up dead.
The Maid's Tragedy is a play with a lot of dead bodies at the end. At least four of the main characters die.
It's by Francis Beaumont and John Fletcher, and they were a popular Jacobean playwriting duo, and they wrote more than a dozen plays together. This play was probably first performed at the Blackfriars Theater in around 1610, with Burbage as a mentor, and his boy apprentice, Richard Robinson, taking Aspeta, the young woman's part. Historians cite this play as being one of the few tragedies of the period, if not the only tragedy of the period, with an original plot.
We mentioned this before, but the Blackfriars Theater, unlike the Globe, was an indoor theater, and it was a much more intimate space.
Intimate? I think you mean to say exclusive, dear Gage. It is a theater for those of the higher class than the ragtag commoners at the Globe. King James and his family attend the Blackfriars.
I was trying not to be so classist.
And why not be classist? Say what you mean, my good woman. The calloused feet of the milking maid cannot squeeze into my silk pinchnets, and my delicate toes would be torn ragged in her wooden clogs. Therefore, we keep to our own shoes and our own natural positions. I ho, I high, she low. Such is God's plan.
Is it?
Anyway, class aside, the Maid's Tragedy is set in Rhodes, in what I guess is supposed to be ancient Greece, kind of never stated. A mentor is a noble soldier, and he's betrothed to Aspeta, a courtier's daughter. But the corrupt king insists that a mentor marry another noble lady, Evadne. The mentor does as he's commanded. And on his wedding night to Evadne, she tells him that the king has forced her to become his mistress and that the marriage between herself and a mentor is to cover for the king to continue his affair with her. There are all kinds of subplots with political twists and turns, but at the end, Evadne decides she must recover her honor by killing the king and then killing herself, and Aspeta disguises herself as her brother to get Amintor to fight her so that she can die by his hand to recover her honor.
That's a lot of recovering honor.
It absolutely, but you know what is interesting to me about this play is that these two wronged women, Evadne and Aspeta, they defend themselves instead of getting a man to do it for them. And I think that's pretty unusual. Once Amintor discovers that he has killed his true love, he kills himself. So everyone is dead. A new king is crowned, and he swears to rid the kingdom of corruption.
Oh, politicians prating. They're always saying they're going to root out corruption.
Exactly. Then is now, right?
And Philadelphia, give us that line again, the one that Aspeta goads Amintor with, where she fights him.
She says, "Thou art some prating fellow, one that hath studied out a trick to talk and move soft-hearted people, to be kicked."
That sounds kind of mild for trash talk.
Well, I guess prating was a bigger insult than it sounds to us, because it is kind of mild for trash talk. I don't think that would get me to whip out my sword.
Well, Philadelphia, so you are reunited with Burbage, and as we would say, it's on hot and heavy.
Tis so. And thus I must away, and waste no more time prating with you, my Ningles. Arby awaits. So give heed to defiles. Add some 16th century sauce to your vocabulary with prating. Listen in next time. Don't miss a word. Subscribe on YouTube and give me a like.